is Davin's Den.
And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. Thank you for hanging out with us. That's not what I wanted to do. I turned on the wrong thing. Ah, sorry about that. Little tech things. All right. So the interesting thing will be to see if Joe agrees with Nancy Pelosi on this story, which is always fun. You know, Pip, I was thinking, do you want me to send you sometime this week our show logo? Do you want to put that behind you?
Sure.
Okay. We can do that. Not knowing Pip, it'll be like six bunnies wearing the show logo, but still, it will be. we will send you the logo, Pip.
It might not be solely the logo that you know go.
Uh-oh. Well, according to Joe, no homo. But anyway. Oh, she got a new cat mug. Look at that. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she's open to legislation that would enact stiffer penalties on stock trading for members of Congress. Reversing her previous opposition as bipartisan pressure mounts to implement an outright ban. The California Democrat maintained at a press conference Thursday that she has great confidence in the integrity of my members, but noted she would consider additional restrictions if proposals gain support. I do come down always in favor of trusting our members. If the impression that is given by some that somebody is doing insider trading, then a Justice Department issue, and that has no place in any of this. To give a blanket attitude of we can't do this and we can't do because we can't be trusted, I just don't buy into that. But if members want to do that, I'm okay with it. I don't think members want to do that. I think the people who elect the members want to do that.
Yeah.
I think the members would love to rape and pillage the government for all the, like the Vikings they are.
Oh, yeah. How can we get more for us?
Uh-huh. Pelosi's latest remarks came as lawmakers from both parties are push for stricter rules or a total ban on stock trades by members of Congress. Proponents of a ban say individual stock holdings could represent a conflict of interest for lawmakers who have access to sensitive information and are responsible for enacting laws regulating businesses. Pelosi drew scrutiny in December after she argued lawmakers should be allowed to trade stock as part of a free market economy. Yeah, I guess, but that's insider trading, perhaps. The Post previously reported that Pelosi and her husband may have earned more than $30 million through bets on tech firms, even as the Biden administration and Congress moved to regulate the industry. Just dumb luck. That's all that is. Just
good guessing.
Just business savvy. Why are you looking at me? You don't report on the people that lose money, just the winners. It's capitalism, baby. The Post also reported that Senator John Ossoff, a Democrat from Georgia, and Mark Kelly, a Democrat of Arizona, have introduced a bill that would ban members of Congress, their spouses, and dependent children from trading stocks while in office. Lawmakers would be required to place any assets in a blind trust. Well, we saw how that worked in the last administration. So, you know, you kind of have to do it. You can't just say it. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, has introduced his own version of the bill in the House. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, also suggested support for a ban. Last week, Pelosi asked members of the House Administration Committee to review the Stock Act, an Obama-era regulation requiring lawmakers to disclose stock trades. The committee is exploring whether stiffer restrictions are needed. Well, they got right on it. It was from the Obama administration. Good time to look at that now. Dust that off. Not like anything's happened the past 5 years since the last time Obama was president. If, in fact, we should have severe penalties for delay in reporting one stock transaction, then do that. I've said to the House Administration Committee, review all the bills that are coming and see which ones where the support is in our caucus. Pelosi also argued that members of the Supreme Court should be held to similar standard for personal stock transactions. The United States Supreme Court, where decisions are made all the time that affect our environment, our workforce, our personal freedoms, every subject you can name at the mercy of the court. No disclosure whatsoever, and certainly no Stock Act, Pelosi said. Look over there! Pay no attention to us over there! Look over there!
Pay no attention to my wallet
yes.
as it expands.
Yes. Earlier this week, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said President Biden would defer to Congress on whether to impose new restrictions on stock trades. Listen, I'm up to my ass with this shit. Be corrupt. Don't be corrupt. You guys do what you guys do. Son of a bitch.
I got Russians coming at me. I don't really have time for this.
I don't have time for that, you son of a bitch. What? Did I leave the mic on? Oh, my bad. Anyway, this week, a poll... A poll by the progressive firm Data of Progress found that 67% of voters support a ban, a figure that increases to 74% when respondents are given arguments in favor and against the idea. I support a ban on members of Congress buying and selling stocks.
I don't think a ban is necessary. However, there should be maybe some a regulation requiring the lawmakers to disclose the stock trades that they're making.
Well, that's what Obama had in the Stock Act.
You know, and you know, I mean, how you can't tell somebody they can't trade, you know, stocks.
Sure, you can.
You can trade stocks, but it would be under review on what stocks you're trading.
Why can't I? If there's potentially is insider trading, which is illegal. Martha Stewart went to jail for that.
I understand that, but it basically, if they went under a review, because you know they also have it like.
Who's going to review, Joe? Who's going to review it? Other members of Congress, the judges. There's nobody to review it.
I understand somebody, what you're saying.
Get somebody.
You know that.
Why can't the SEC review it?
Because they're political hires too.
Oh, they are. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's like, oh, we're going to just do Scout's honor. It's like with Congress. No.
Now the argument against that is that we might lose people running for office because of this. You know what? We're already attracting the low of the low. That ship has sailed. How much worse could it possibly get? Between
well, the upside of that, if you did do that, you would have people that are getting into government for the sake of getting into government, and not trying to get gains in other areas. And then you probably would have a limit on career politicians that just want to sit there and get money where they would, you know, so they know they're going into something that are actually helping the public. And you know what? If they feel like they want to make money and they can't trade stocks, they'll step down. So in that respect, it's not that bad of an idea. I think it's actually, a good litmus test.
I like that. Joe argued his way into agreeing with me. Joe raised excellent points and agreed with me.
Well, no, this is especially, like I said, you want to trade, it's going to be regulated, okay. However, on the other hand, it could really be a litmus test of who really wants to be in office, and to gain on the public or for personal gain. So it kind of weed out.
We saw under the last administration when Trump was supposed to put all his holdings in a blind trust, but didn't, but just came out with a stock of blank papers, that they can't be trusted. The Democrats can't be trusted either. However, if you make it illegal, as opposed to, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, do the right thing, now we have something here. You do this, you're going to be, whether heavy fines or jail time or loss of position. You know what makes you think twice before being a snake?
And you want to know something? I personally think that the way the Democrat Party is lately, I think Pelosi's doing this as a public relations stunt.
Joe, you make it sound like she's a politician or something. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a great idea, but
it's not hers.
The money that she's made in real estate dealings and stuff like that. I mean. This is a public relations stunt.
No, I don't think it matters to her at all. She'll be gone soon. She don't give a shit about. She made her money. But the fact of the matter is, people
still for the good of the party. I mean,
This is bipartisan. This is the good of the country. People do not trust these people. This would put they're telling you to get the vaccine because they invested in Pfizer and Moderna and this, that, the other. Take that out of the equation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because, look, it's sort of, if you could see into the future, you know, like, everybody who talks about, like, the movies Back to the Future and stuff, the first thing Biff did is go and get a almanac of sports so they could make money, and, you know, because he knew how every game was going to turn out. It's so tempting. You're right there. You can manipulate how things are going to turn out. You can make legislation to make your gold mine happen. A lot of people, I think, go into government and they do have these altruistic, you know, shiny little faces, and they want to go in and they want to do good, and they become corrupted because it's a corrupt system. And there are so many ways that they can manipulate things for their own good. Why do you think that so many people who have a ton of money go into government, or they become wealthy in government? Because it is so easy to become corrupt. Why not just completely stop it where it stands? While you're doing this job, you can't trade. And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And I think with Pelosi, like I said, even on her, her stance of the Democratic Party, two things. She wants to bring this legislation in now, so if it does go through, she'll probably be gone as the speaker in another year. And it looks good, for better or for worse, she's always been for the Democratic Party. That's a job, but she's always been, part of, trying to make the party bigger or trying to rein in the radical left element of the party, so she's all for the cause. So, and she probably figures that by the time they have it, I'm retired.
Also, she made her money.
Also, I agree with her about the judges, too. That's a good, I wouldn't have thought about it. That's a good point, too. If you are making decisions that affect all these companies and affect all our lives and people's pensions, because if somebody wins, somebody else might lose. There's two drug companies that the government's going to throw a bunch of money at, or one drug company suing another one. You're picking winners and losers. So, I think it would actually do a lot to restore confidence in our government if something like that happened. Now, it won't, because they're not going to vote against their own self-interest, but it would be nice if it did.
This is a fantastic bipartisan idea that would never fucking pass in our lifetime.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pretty much.
It'll never happen.
Do we write this off that it's not going to change, but it's the thought that counts?
I think it does mean something that Pelosi is for it now. I think it does mean something, because she is the Speaker of the House. She is third in line to the presidency. So it does mean something. Now, she has the power to push it and bring it to the floor. Will she? Probably not. But she could.
It's kind of like you get credit for floating the idea.
Well, it's not even her idea. It's credit for not shooting down the idea out of hand. That's what she gets.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
But we all see. So I think we all actually do agree that this would be nice.
And like I said, she says she's open to it, which means that the House and the Senate will probably entertain it. Is it going to pass? No, it ain't fucking pass.
Yeah. No. Why would we pass something that would probably get bipartisan support and the citizens would be happy about? Why would we possibly do that when we could fight about nonsense?
Right.
Let them eat cake.
Yeah. All right. Well, you may be able to eat cake, but you may not be able to trick or treat, Pip. At least not at some houses. A Georgia sheriff violated the constitutional rights of sex offenders. Damn it. By placing signs in their yards warning trick-or-treaters to stay away on Halloween. But if it's Halloween and it's scary, doesn't that really mean come closer? A federal appeals court ruled, that seems like the wrong place for this type of sex offender story to be. Butts County Sheriff Gary Long, and he sure is, instructed deputies ahead of Halloween in 2018 to put large signs on the front yards of all 57 registered sex offenders in the county, telling youngsters to stop and not trick-or-treat at this address. These three registered sex offenders in the county later filed a federal lawsuit claiming the signs violated their First Amendment rights. A judge initially blocked Long from posting the signs but denied a permanent injunction and granted summary judgment in favor of Long. A three-judge panel at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit reversed Judge Mark Treadwell's decision in an opinion issued Wednesday, ruling the oversized signs are compelled government speech and violate a homeowner's First Amendment rights. Thus, we vacate the district court's judgment in favor of the sheriff and remand for further proceedings consistent with his opinion, Judge Frank Hall wrote. The judges know that none of the three sex offenders who sued Reginald Holden, Corey McClendon, and Christopher Reed have been classified as posing an increased risk of recidivism. Treadwell also found that they have been rehabilitated and were leading productive lives. The sheriff does not dispute this, nor does the record support a contrary finding. After the warning signs were first put up, Long posted a message on Facebook saying the signs were only put in the yards of registered sex offenders, while saying the safety of the county's children was his top priority. He also said Georgia law prohibits registered sex offenders from partaking at Halloween, which the appeals court noted was inaccurate. The rule also noted that Long acknowledged he's had no issues with registered sex offenders in his county, including unauthorized contact with minors since becoming sheriff in 2013. Holden, McClendon, and Reed sued Long in 2019, claiming he had violated the First Amendment rights with compelled speech. The district court granted a preliminary injunction based on the speech claim and barred Long from putting the signs that October. The ruling indicates the sign impermissibly burdens Holden and that Long is prevented by the First Amendment from posing it on his property. The appeals judges reversed the district court's ruling in favor of Long on Holden's First Amendment claim and permanently blocked the sheriff from posting signs in his yard. Holden owns his own home. But issues remain regarding McClendon and Reed, who both live with their parents and have expressed their intent to amend their complaints and add them as plaintiffs. At this stage, neither McClendon, Reed, nor the sheriff have shown they are entitled to summary judgment, the ruling said. Thus, we vacate the entry of judgment for the sheriff on McClendon's and Reed's First Amendment claims and remand for further. So what do you guys think?
Well, it's he posted... The signs that were posted, if it's accurate to the story, it said no trick-or-treating at this address. They didn't say why. So they're not pointing the people out as a sex offender. They're saying no trick-or-treating at this address. Now, on the flip side of that, if there was a registered sex offender in the house or a rehabilitated one, this rule is going to any other people that are living in the house. It's kind of like a guilty by association sort of thing. So you're kind of putting those people under duress. So I would say if it's the case that these dwellings are multiple occupant dwellings, I think that putting that sign up is wrong because it's guilty by association and you have to take it down.
Interesting.
You know, I would totally agree with that, except there are a couple different things. I know that the sex offender rules are not there. I mean, you know, the things that people can get pinched for as a sex offender, because they're so ridiculous in some cases, like, you know, somebody pees in the forest and there were unknowingly children nearby, and it's like, oh, now you're a sex offender because you peed on a tree. Because people get labeled a sex offender for things that most normal, you know, straight thinking, normal thinking people would go, that's ridiculous. That's not a sex offense. That makes it problematic for them labeling them like that. But on the other hand, if you are legitimately a kid toucher, I have no problem with your house being labeled as don't let kids go there for trick or treating. Don't let kids go there ever. Because that is like the lowest of the low, being a kid toucher. That's just, I don't care about your First Amendment rights at this point. I don't want kids being lured into your house ever, you know? So I am on the fence about this. I think that they need to straighten up the law that makes you a sex offender so that people who are not doing things that are really in no way a sex offense get, you know, looped in there.
I feel like if a sex offender was really going to commit an act against a child, they would probably have the best candy in the neighborhood.
Do you think it's worth it for a Mars bar?
Not me personally, but I'm sure somebody out there does.
I think maybe if you think that you could grab it and run away fast enough, it would be tempting if they have the real goods.
We have sex offenders in this neighborhood, and you know we don't let the kids go there because you could see who's a sex offender because you have to register.
Yeah.
How do you know he's got a pervert sticker on his window?
No, you have to register. You have to register as a sex offender. You can't live in certain areas, like in proximity to schools. You have to register. I think the problem for the sheriff was he put it on their property. If he would have put it in front of their property, like in government property, he might have been okay. But he put it on their property.
I think that's kind of a fine line. It's just like that. It was marking their property was really more the issue, don't you think?
And how would you do? I mean, if we're talking about a residence, how would you put it in front of his property without putting it on his property? Where would you put it?
I would hire a skywriter and say a perv lives there. That's what I would do. If you were,
I think that probably having more of a, maybe having an outreach for the parents at the schools and say, here's the website that shows where the sex offenders live. When you're trick-or-treating, avoid those houses. Maybe that would work.
Unless you're going to go with like a sexy pirate or something, because they'll appreciate that.
Mm. Right.
Then you just stay away from docks.
Yeah. I'm going to go as a sexy Teletubby. Go right to the sex offender's house, dear.
No, you just have to, instead of wearing heels, you have to wear sneakers, according to M&M's. And then you're fine.
I think the sheriff, I think what this does is, this opened up the plaintiffs to like being harassed by the community. That's a problem.
That is a problem.
You want to know something? And I'm sorry, Tiff, I walked over you. What were you saying?
No, that's okay. No, it's not a problem that I'm going to lose sleep about.
Yeah, you know, it's like a situation where it's a motion over rule of law. I mean, you know, you violated the sex offender's rights. Well, you want to know something? You touch a child, you lost all your rights. But you know, you got to work on the rule of law. You know.
Yeah. No. The rule of law is if you did the crime, you paid your time. You know. You get to go on with your life. So,
yeah.
You know, Pip's answers aren't really along those lines, but that is the way the country works.
Yeah.
No, I know that. I know that. I'm coming from an emotional place. I'm probably not the most level-headed about this particular topic.
Also, you know, these three plaintiffs allegedly don't pose any threat anymore. Like, there's no, like, apparently they did their time. We don't know what they did. And they're normal, and they're not a threat. So on that level, it's wrong, too.
Right, but what about the 50 or 60 other guys that they marked their house?
Well, I mean, it's one thing if you're a threat, if you're a credible threat. But
the recidivism for pedophilia is in the stratosphere.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the law is the law. And you can't, you know, you can't do that. Now, I wonder what would happen if it wasn't the sheriff, but just like a citizen. Because the sheriff is acting on behalf of the government. But, you know, if you as a do-gooder did it, you know, maybe it'd be allowed.
No, I don't think so.
If you put the sign up, a citizen put the sign up, it could be freedom of speech. But against the person, but if the person rehabilitated himself and had been for a while, he could sue for slander. You know,
No, I don't think so because they were sex offenders. I don't know. It's a weird story. It's a weird story.
Was he at the time
the sign was put up?
Yeah, because they were convicted sex offenders. Yeah.
But then on how much time, you know, it gets a little tricky.
But the sign didn't. Sorry.
Well, if you're rehabilitated and it says no trick-or-treating at this address, and they're putting the sign up that you're a sex offender, the perception is that you have not been rehabilitated and you are a sex offender, and maybe that'll come up as slander. I mean, you know, you can go any, you know, either way. It's very interesting the way you can go with this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the sign did specifically say there were sex offenders, did it?
No, but you could.
I don't think it did. It just said no trick or treat. And that's another thing with the sign. If this is the sign that was actually, put on these things, you know, like I was saying at the beginning of the discussion, no trick or treating at this residence. It could, you know, why? It could be, is there a dog, you know, an attack dog there? Is there a predator there? Did deaf people live there? Does somebody with PSD, you know, live there? You know, it could be a variety of reasons. It really didn't spell it out that there was a sex offender there. It just spelled it out that no, there is to be no trick-or-treating there. So, you know, on that end, the sheriff really didn't spell it out. He just said there should be no trick-or-treating there. For what reason? He didn't put a reason on there. There's just no trick-or-treating by law. Well, not by law, but, you know, for the sheriff.
If you go trick-or-treating there, you're going to have to wear the prisoner's costume.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, you
don't
know.
Then you can go in.
You know, you don't know if a dog or a cock's going to come at you. You know, who knows?
Maybe a dog's cock. All right.
Do they keep chickens?
Yeah.
And boy, was this one. A North Carolina charter school teacher was forced to resign after telling black students they'd be her field slaves if not for the Constitution, according to the parent of a child in the classroom. And that teacher uttered that sentence and said to himself, this is going to turn out well.
Wow.
Kenesha Tillman, who has a son in the 8th grade at Winterville Charter Academy, told WITN the unidentified teacher singled out black students during a lesson on the Constitution in late September that led to alleged bullying by other pupils. She had them raise their hand during a constitutional lesson and reminded them that if it wasn't for the Constitution, they'd be her slaves, Tillman told the station. Her field slaves! You wouldn't even be a house slave. You'd be a field slave. Pip is offended that they had no upward mobility. The school's principal.
What's with this glass ceiling shit?
There was just no room for advancement.
I pick and I pick and I can never get in the house. It just doesn't seem right. The school's principal, Anastasia Ryan, informed parents of the 8th graders in the September 24th memo of the racially insensitive lesson. It was a lesson? Doesn't sound like a lesson. It sounds like verbal abuse. During an English class on Constitution Day, which was observed on September 17th. How the fuck does that work into English class? Make a poem about how I'm going to call you my slaves. Make it a haiku so we can get the Japs, too.
Oh, my God.
We'll read that on Pearl Harbor Day. I mean, Jesus Christ.
It really, really, really bad lesson plan.
Two racially insensitive words were also used by multiple children in the classroom, leading to an inappropriate response from the female educator, Ryan said. The teacher was supported in turning in her resignation and will not be returning on campus, Ryan told parents in the memo obtained by WITN. We concur, you should leave. No, leave the fern, go. Culturally sensitive training for the teacher that resigned will be provided, along with proactive training measures for our current and future staff members. Again, not to stop the story, but to stop the story. If you have to train your staff on something like this, it's time to look at your hiring practices.
What kind of vetting?
I mean, you know, it's like, you know me, it's like, I consider a culturally sensitive training. What nonsense. If you're calling them field slaves, yeah, maybe we, you know, even I'm going to go look. We got to take a day off. We got to take a day out and bring everybody in.
but you know what really is the thing is that, A lot of times, people don't even realize this about themselves. They don't show their hand until all of a sudden something like this pops out of their mouth, and you're like, what now?
Well, Pip, stick around for the rest of the story. This might not be the case. Reports of the classroom incident led by angry posts on the school's Facebook page, including some that called for administrators to expose the teacher and for parents to remove their children from the tuition-free K-8 tuition-free K-8 through public charter school. Well, if you're not paying nothing, you get what you pay for. Where 61% of 661 students at the school are black, while 26% are white, or as we call them, masters, according to its website. What, no, Pip? What, no? No? I didn't read that right?
No.
Plantation owners? How? Well, what terminology do you want, Pip?
Speaking extemporaneously.
The school's principal addressed the racially insensitive lesson. It wasn't a fucking lesson. There was no lesson. A lesson implies learning something. Yeah, the only lesson was we learned the teacher's a moron and a racist.
And a racist.
Well, there's your lesson, kids. Dismissed.
You could have said that one of the things with the Constitution is all, based on, we the people, all men are created equal. During, the whole thing, part of the Civil War, we worked to change that. You don't go, you would have been field slave.
What? It's just an English lesson. What?
If you're going to bring it up, you bring it up, what went on. Where we really had to back up all people are created equal, and the whole civil rights thing without calling the black children, they could have been field slaves if it wasn't for the Constitution.
And I want to actually know what went down when they said she made them raise their hands. How did she present this? Excuse me. Anybody who would have been my slave, raise your hand. How did this come up? Like, how did she? Who raised their hand?
Well,
what did she say?
Gently coerced with a good whipping. What? Pip said. What? No. No. Okay.
Oh God.
I'll resign as teacher. The school's principal,
okay, please do.
The school's principal addressed the racially insensitive lesson in a second memo Tuesday, saying the students who also made racially insensitive comments were disciplined, according to a Facebook post showing the letter. These situations concern us too, Ryan wrote. Our school culture is built on one of acceptance, love, and respect to serve all children and their families. The inner workings of our school are surrounded by intentional effort to eliminate implicit and explicit bias. Your efforts suck. Tillman, meanwhile, told the Associated Press her son relayed one classroom incident on September 20th after a fellow parent texted her earlier in the day suggesting a teacher had been treating students differently due to race. A white student had called a black student a monkey, Tillman said, when the black student educated him on that being racist and him not liking it and not to call him that and asked the teacher for support. The teacher turned around and said to him, "Oh, it's okay. We're all a little bit racist." And that was that day's lesson.
That was that day's lesson.
That lesson was in math. That was a math lesson.
Yeah, count how many of your teachers are racist.
Yes. We've subtracted one racist teacher. How many racist teachers are left? The black student responded by calling a white classmate a cracker. Which led the teacher to threaten him with disciplinary action. Now that's rude, unless he's putting on the Ritz.
Unbelievable.
In another incident, Tillman said a group of black girls tried to explain how being called a monkey was racist when the teacher approached them and said, "It's okay, you're all my little monkeys." The student.
What is wrong with this school?
This is what you get for free. The students complained about the teacher's remarks, but no action was taken. Someone told the Associated Press. The teacher later turned in her resignation, but the white student who called a black classmate a monkey returned after a two-day suspension. All right. First of all, we need to know the teacher's name, because this person cannot work in anything relating to children or other human beings. Again, that's the first thing. You're going to be that blatantly racist with children. We need to know who you is.
Well, I mean, what a ridiculous thing, claiming assuming that this is part of a lesson. It was so incredibly blatantly racist.
Well, Pip, like, Pip, in their defense, they never said a well-thought-out or good lesson. They just said a lesson.
Like I said before, I mean, what a stupid way to go about it. Now, you could turn around and go...
Wait a minute! Hold on! Do you have a better way to convey this message?
I explained it before. I said, basically, in the Constitution, it says all men are created equal. We had to fix a wrong that we had with the slavery. You go about it that way. You don't say you're going to be the field slaves. Now, you could say that she made a mistake in judgment on that, but apparently she had a track record to go along with this. You know, and she's got to go. Do you want to expose her name? Maybe not, but it goes on her record wherever she applies for a job, at least in teaching, that will be on there.
I thought the Constitution, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought the Constitution considered black people three-fifths of a person. Isn't that why they were property?
Yes, but that was corrected.
Okay. So if it wasn't for the Constitution, they would never have been slaves, you dumb bitch. Why do I got to teach the lesson here?
Well, maybe she was going over constitutional amendments.
She's an English teacher. How about she goes over dangling participles?
Dangle this.
And like I said, for an English, you know, an English teacher to bring up the the Constitution, and then mention that the black kids would be field slaves. How did she get there?
I'll tell you what, that principal has to go. The whole board overseeing this has to go. Because apparently there's a lot of there's more than one teacher thinking this is okay.
Right. But I mean, like, I think that it's weed out the teachers. You don't necessarily throw out the baby with the
No. Because there's a culture there where these teachers think it's going to be okay. They think they can get away with it. The rot starts at the top. If it was one teacher, I'd agree. Okay, we got a bad apple. You know, and if they, but when it's multiple stories, we got to redo it. We have to change everything.
Well, you got to find out who said what, and you have to find out who knew what, you know. This one incident, this is the one incident, but the prior incident, you find out, you know. I mean, did they try to brush this under the rug? If it is that the principal, you know, the principal and the teachers there, those people have to go.
Right. I mean, if there's a culture of dismissing these infractions from the teachers who are blatantly racist, yeah, then upper management's got to go. But I don't think, you know, you go, like, the whole school board's got to go. Blow it up! You know, find out who's responsible for these incredible misjudgments in hiring, in, you know, administrative leave, you know, all these infractions by these racist teachers. Clean out the place, but you don't necessarily take everybody out, you know.
I think you could take a lot out. I think you could take a lot out. My final point on this, the audacity of this teacher to think she could afford multiple field slaves on a teacher's salary. Who does she think she is?
Well, that's
your takeaway.
I mean, how removed is this person from reality?
Oh my god!
What?
No, nothing. No, a valid point.
Yes, it is. It's a very valid. Not just one field slave. You'd all be my field slaves. Slow down. You're a teacher, not a plantation owner. Relax.
I can't believe that she said that. And the person that was saying all this stuff about, oh, you're all my little monkeys, like all dismissive about it all. And then as soon as the black kid comes up with Cracker, it's like, you go to the principal. What?
Which goes to the point I made previously. There's a culture there that these people think they can see that it wasn't just one nitwit. There's a culture there.
Well. It makes me want to see what I forgot. Where was this taking place again?
North Carolina.
Oh, sorry. My I buried the lead in my head.
My future home state.
Careful.
By the way, in a poll, our fair state, New York, voted the third worst place to retire. Of course it is. Only 24% of New Yorkers, want to retire here. We can't wait to get out of this.
We can't afford to live here.
It's scary. I got my Social Security will send you your benefits, you know, what your benefit statements are. And usually I just look at it, laugh, and I just throw it on the pile. I actually had to sit with the thing. It's going to be that time, yeah.
All right.
I know, we're closing in.
Yes, we are. Let's do some comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Is he in the mountains?
No, see, it's a good thing the mountains were here to cover his nakedness.
Oh, well, I only tune into the show for Mr. Helix's nakedness.
All right.
As an infectious disease epidemiologist, oh, I got that right, and research fellow at Boston's Children's Hospital who debunks health misinformation on Instagram, because you know what? If I'm going to debunk misinformation, I'm going to the Instagram. You know, I'm going to Instagram, baby. Maybe Facebook Reels or Instagram Reels. I fucked it up. Yeah, whatever. Where she has more than 380,000 followers. Jessica Melati Rivera rightly receives tips from her followers about viral content to debunk. Snitches. A few weeks ago, her followers started sending her a link to an episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, the most popular podcast in all of the world. The episode was an interview with Dr. Robert Malone, a virologist who touts himself as one of the architects of mRNA technology. Oddly enough, I also tout myself that way. Rivera.
So do I.
I do. I think that teacher touts themselves that way, too. You could tout anything you want. Rivera was familiar with Rogan, as well as Malone. She knew that Malone had been banned from Twitter for promoting COVID-19 misinformation, and that he'd been making the rounds in conservative media circles, undermining the efficacy of the vaccine. When she watched the interview, she was horrified to see that he espoused various conspiratorial and baseless beliefs, from the idea that mass formation psychosis is responsible for people believing in the efficacy of vaccines. You're crazy, woman. You're crazy. To financially incentivize to falsely diagnose COVID-19 deaths. The episode featuring Malone went viral, oddly enough, and was shared widely in right-wing media circles, as well on Facebook, where the link on Spotify has been shared nearly 25,000 times, according to CrowdTangle data. Yet Rivera was even more horrified to discover that people in her life, whom she considered to be quite wise and discerning, were hoodwinked by Malone's patina of academic credibility, to which Rivera had to say, maybe the people in my life are as stupid as everybody else. No, she didn't say that, but I would. Look at Rivera thinking like her circle of friends is any smarter than anybody else's. No, it's 7 degrees of bacon and morons. Stop it.
Well, you know, I mean, I would say that, you know, perhaps scientists and doctors, epidemiologists, that sort of person might have a brighter crowd of friends than, say, we would.
Nah.
Maybe. Nah. Perhaps.
Nah. Nah. I'm very impressed with your friends list. All top notch, Pip. When I saw they were falling victim to this, I spoke to some colleagues, and we said something has to be done at this point. Rivera is one of 270 doctors, physicians, and science educators who signed an open letter calling on Spotify, which obtained exclusively streaming rights to the Joe Rogan Experience, and it reported a $100 million deal to take action against misinformation on the platform, such as that contained in an interview with Malone. With an estimated 11 million listeners per episode, JRE, which is hosted exclusively on Spotify, is the world's largest podcast and has tremendous influence, the letter reads. Spotify has a responsibility to mitigate the the spread of misinformation on its platform, though the company presently has no misinformation policy. The letter was initially appended with a lengthy fact check of all the claims presented in Malone's interview with Rogan. From the mass formation psychos, supposition to Malone's claim that the Biden administration is suppressing evidence supporting the efficacy of ivermectin as a COVID-19 treatment. People who don't have the scientific or medical background to recognize the things he's saying are not true or unable to distinguish fact from fiction are going to believe what Malone is saying. And this is the biggest podcast in the world. A podcast! And that's terrifying, said Dr. Ben Ryan, a neuroscientist at Stanford University who co-authored the letter with Rivera and other doctors and educators. The Malone segment is far from the first time Rogan has been accused of platforming misinformation on his podcast, but he seems so bright. That time when he got you to eat bull balls, I said, this is a man, a learned man of integrity. That time when he went on and on espoused about a rear naked choke, I said, nay, nay, doctor, I need to go see the Joe Rogan. He knows about this rear naked chokehold. That is where I shall get all of my medical information. And that time when he confronted Carlos Mencia about stealing jokes, I said, forget about him sticking up for comedy. My elbow hurts. I need to fly out to California to see why my elbow hurts. And Joe Rogan said, it is a funny bone issue, and it is because you laughed at a Mencia joke. So, these are all true, by the way. I wouldn't lie to you. Rogan actively discouraged young people from getting the vaccine, saying in a conversation with comedian Dave Smith, if you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccine? I'll go, no. Why would I ask you? Why would I ask you, Joe Rogan? Do I have no doctors in my life? Are these doctors so hard to find that I'm asking you, a continuously high podcast host? Why, Joe Rogan? Why? Rogan has also promoted taking ivermectin to treat COVID-19 symptoms, despite the fact that there's no evidence to support ivermectin's efficacy as a treatment, and that ingesting it can lead to such side effects as dizziness and controlled vomiting. You know what, though, to be fair, I mean, the vaccines can lead to that shit, too. Everything's got a side effect. So, you know. Well, I don't think we should be dragging side effects into this shit. They all got side effects.
I was watching TV this afternoon, and they were pouting, selling something that had the side effect of like a rare brain cancer. I'm like, oh yeah, sign me up.
Well, you know what? If it helps take care of my clammy hands, I might have to investigate. Do you have wet hands? Are you tired of hearing squish when you say shake people's hands? Try Brain Cancer-O-Rama. It'll dry up your hands and give you a tumor. Yay! By the time your hands are dry, you'll be dead.
They have one for irritable bowel symptom or digestive things, and one of the side effects is diarrhea. You're taking it because you don't want to get diarrhea. If you're getting diarrhea, what's the point?
No, Joe, you're missing the point. I'm taking it so I know why I have diarrhea.
Do you know how many antidepressants have as a side effect suicidal ideation? All of them.
They basically say, listen, it may work, it may not work. Either way, you're fucked.
Yeah. You know, just sit on the ledge and see what happens.
Sure. 9 out of 10 people who sit on ledge say gravity happens. All right. This doctor was saying ivermectin is 99% effective in treating COVID, but you don't hear about it because you can't fund vaccines when it's an effective treatment. But they're all made by the same fucking companies. So, you know, if it was working, whatever company was made ivermectin would be touting the shit out of it. So their stock prices would go up. It makes no sense. Look what happens when you use logic, Joe Rogan experience. He said on the same episode of his podcast as Rolling Stone previously reported, so that Rogan says this, I don't know if this guy is right or wrong, I'm just asking questions. Are you, though? Are you just asking questions? Yeah. Rogan has also platformed many discredited physicians and academics who have spoken out against the vaccine, such as Dr. Peter McCullough, a cardiologist who inaccurately claimed that COVID-19 vaccines are experimental and that the pandemic was planned. You fucking morons. Donald Trump will tell you the vaccines work, you dummies. And if you can't trust President Trump, who can you trust? You heard it from me. Right, Joe?
Yes.
These are our standards now?
God bless you. Most certainly are. Katrine Wallace, PhD and epidemiologist at University of Illinois, Chicago School of Public Health, says that she considers Rogan a menace to public health for continuously platforming anti-vaccine ideology to his enormous audience. How about having people jump off of fucking skyscrapers? That can smart too and not be good for health. He did that too. How about for making money off of people inflicting brain damage to each other? You know, and the square and the octagon. I mean, this guy is all about other people getting hurt if you follow the guy's career. I'm just saying. Just saying. And look how he hurt Carlos Mencia. Carlos Mencia.
Poor helpless dude.
He was Stephen Jokes.
Opie and Anthony tried to build this young man up, and Joe Rogan tore him down. Joe Rogan is a menace to comedy, too. Having things like this on the Joe Rogan podcast gives the platform to these people and makes it a false balance. This is what really bothers me, she tells Rolling Stone. These are fringe ideas not backed in science, and having it on a huge platform makes it seem there are two sides to this issue, and there are really not. The overwhelming evidence is the vaccine work, and it's safe. Although many have criticized Spotify for hosting Rogan on its platform, the open letter to Spotify does not request that Rogan's show be taken off Spotify, nor does it demand that Spotify remove the Malone episode in particular. Rather, it is calling on Spotify to develop a comprehensive policy prohibiting misinformation. Any podcast that platforms dangerous people, people spreading dangerous ideas and misinformation, should not be allowed to go unchecked on the Spotify platform, says Abby Richard. A researcher specializing in misinformation, Richard gave Ryan the idea of penning an open letter to Spotify when he approached her with his concerns over the Malone episode. We're not focused on something as small as just one episode or Rogan. They need to implement a policy and carry it out. Though Spotify does not appear to have a clear policy regarding misinformation in its terms of service, in the past the platform has removed episodes containing misinformation regarding vaccines. Spotify prohibits content on the platform. Come on. Wait for it. God damn it. Put down the coffee, stupid. There we go. Which promotes dangerous, false, deceptive, or misleading content about COVID-19 that may cause offline harm and or pose a direct threat to public health. When content that violates the standards identified, it is removed from the platform. It said in a statement to The Verge last April, but has been reluctant to take action against Rogan's podcast, which reaches an estimated 11 million people per episode, nor does it include a warning label regarding potential misinformation on any podcast episodes. Spotify did not immediately return Rolling Stone's requests. Considering the size of Rogan's audience, as well as the staggering reported value of his contract with the platform, not everyone involved with the open letter is convinced that Spotify will ever be willing to take a stand on his content. Rivera believes Spotify has an enormous ethical obligation to do so. Considering their role in society is disseminating content, there is a responsibility in a global public health emergency to not exacerbate the problem. We have an infodemic going on that is prolonging the pandemic and it is causing people to make bad choices and actually die. These are preventable illnesses that folks like Joe Rogan and Dr. Robert Malone are directly responsible for. You know, it's kind of interesting because it's not like this is even a free speech thing. Because they'll remove podcasts that violate whatever this is, but they don't want to go against their golden goose. That's the problem with this right here. I mean, like, you could easily say, listen, we don't censor anything. Buyer beware. Listener beware. We're not going to touch it. But when you go after the little guy for spouting whatever you perceive to be mistruths, but you let the most powerful guy in the world continue, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's look into this, okay? Number one.
No, next story. No, no, next story. We will not. I just wanted to read aloud. That's all. Joe, I just wanted to read aloud. That's all we have time for. We'll move on now. No, no, that's what you want. My reading fits nicely into the allotted time, and it's your response that goes over. Go on, Joe.
All right. Basically, Joe Rogan is not a doctor. He never proclaimed he was a doctor. He is bringing on his opinion. He brings a doctor in that gives his opinion, okay? Rivera says that there's, you know, even admitted that there's two sides. But apparently, you know, she doesn't want, you know.
No, no, Rivera didn't say that. No, hold on, let me stop. Rivera said it creates the false perception that there's two sides. That's what Rivera's saying.
But there actually is two sides to this, okay? The two sides is that the efficacy of the vaccines, as we've been going along, has not been as advertised. And you could say that honestly. Now, in the thing for where's my specs? In ivermectin, there is cases that ivermectin does lessen the severity of COVID. I have it right here. So for her to, you know, say that's not true, there is actually medical evidence that was provided. So you do have an open dialogue for this. Also with her, she is also the communication lead for the COVID tracking period, supported from OZI, which is a private organization, which also gives grants to her. She gets grants from this organization, which means that she is marching with their narrative. So she has an invested interest to speak out against Joe Rogan. So for her to say, you know, it is a free speech issue. There are arguments back and forth, and it is the opinion of all parties involved on each side of it. So for her to turn around and say, well, he's got to be shut down. No, he has the right to have the opinion on it and to provide information where you disseminate whether if it's going to be accurate or not. So much so that Neil Young comes out and says he doesn't want his music played on Spotify, which is also a silver lining because he thinks he can't sing and he's a worse guitar player.
Okay. All right. Here's a problem. When Joe Rogan goes, I don't know if what they're saying is true or not, that's a problem. You have 11 million people an episode. If you're going to have somebody on and prop them up as an expert, you better do the background work. Or at the very least, at the amount of money he's getting, you hire somebody to do the background work on your staff and give you the cheat sheet so you can have an intelligent conversation saying, well, I don't know if they're right or I'm wrong. When you have that type of audience, that amount of people.
Joe Rogan is very, very, very well read. Okay, he's going to have somebody on.
These are Joe Rogan's words. These are Joe Rogan's words. He said, I don't know if they're right or not. He said it himself. That's the problem.
It's fine. It's a matter of opinion. It's a matter of opinion. And he's presenting it as a matter of opinion. So for him to go, well, he should be misinformation. He is presenting the information and saying, this could be right, this could be wrong, but here is the information. You decide. You make up your mind.
Well, I mean, listen. I think what Spotify should do, and we talked about this with the news channels. You want to have opinion? Have opinion. I'm not saying these people need to be shut down. Just have a disclaimer on these shows. These are the opinions of the hosts and the guests. They're not necessarily facts. You slap that on all these podcasts. There you go. Like we talked about when
But shouldn't you, as a reasonable person, be able to make up your mind?
What's wrong with you? Hold on. Once again, I must ask, do you even pay attention to this show? There's not mostly reasonable people out there. How many times do I have to tell you the problem with the world is stupid people? Yes, Joe, you are absolutely right. A reasonable person does not need to have their hand held and told that this might not be exactly true. Unfortunately.
But if the host is actually telling you, it could be right, could be wrong. The host is actually telling you, you should be able to go, it could be right.
Yeah, but he's also saying, you know, people under 21 shouldn't get vaccinated in his opinion. He's not, listen, he's a right, he's allowed to.
In his opinion, Joe Rogan's not a doctor.
No, hold. The problem is not necessarily with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's not necessarily the problem. The problem are the people that think Joe Rogan knows about this shit and is an expert. Joe Rogan can say whatever he wants. I got no problem with Joe Rogan spouting anything he wants. But the problem is we've talked about time and time again, we are a stupid society, and it's affecting all of us. Slap the label on these things and let the chips fall where they may. Keep the podcast up there. Keep on platforming these people if you want to. Give them. I don't care about that. But just say these might not be facts. Now, to my point, a lot of people will say, well, that's a bunch of bullshit right there. What are the executives of Spotify now? Well, at least you covered your ass. At least you tried. You know, it was the same thing growing up. You know, they
well, let me get this straight. When we go into the scam, when we go into the scammer segment,
yeah.
Could you post that Real Davin is not a real person? Just in case some guy believes that you actually do produce porn and shoot guns off in your house because somebody might be fucking stupid.
Yeah, but here's the thing. People aren't potentially getting harmed based on what I'm doing. That's the difference. And we know this. We know people listen to Joe. Aaron Rodgers listened to Joe Rogan. If a Mensa member like Aaron Rodgers, the losing quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, again, overrated, suck, only good in the regular season, listens to Joe Rogan, what chance do the rest of us have? But I'll take Patrick Mahomes over Aaron Rodgers every day. Give me a quarterback that can win in the playoffs. Yuck.
That fucking game was incredible. That game was incredible.
Yes, because these quarterbacks are better than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is only good in the regular season. Stop kissing his ass. Stop it. He's only good in the regular season. Whoop-de-damn-do. You know why Eli Manning is going to go to the Hall of Fame? Because he won in the postseason. He wasn't very good in the regular season, but when it came time to win Super Bowls, that motherfucker could do it. You know who else he beat? Aaron Rodgers. All right, enough about that. Listen, I don't have a problem with Rogan saying whatever he wants. Let him say whatever he wants. I'm just saying, you know, first of all, Spotify is censoring some of the shows, not all of them. That's wrong. Just put the warning up there. And from the warning, people will decide what they want to decide. But at least legally, at least you can say, I tried. What do you want me to do?
And they should put a disclaimer on every news show that you hear. Anything on CNN, anything on Fox News, anything on, you know.
Well, I mean, when they're doing opinion stuff, yeah, they should. When it's pundits, when you're telling me that there's a fire in Newark, no, I don't need a disclaimer on that. When you're telling me your take on how the president's doing, yeah, put an opinion on that. That's fine. I've been saying that.
I think, you know, look. People are stupid, but we do have to have a reasonable expectation that people can make up their own minds.
No, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You just said people are stupid. How can you expect them to make up their own mind correctly?
No, you can't. That's the freedom we have here, to get information and you make up your own mind about it.
I understand that.
Not all things that people say are equal. I mean, opinions are not equal to facts, and I think that that's one of the problems that we've been having for decades, actually, is because, you know, once our news became infotainment instead of actual just here are the facts and make up your own mind, people have lost the ability to critically think. They have news is not necessarily factual. A lot of it is slanted one way or the other. And so people have come to the decision that, well, because somebody that I like is saying it, they're backing up my already preconceived notions of how it is, then they think that that is fact, and it's not the same thing.
But I think that people like that lean on the side of a Marjorie Taylor Greene, or, you know, or maybe an AOC or something like that to that effect on a radical side. That's a small percentage.
No, you know? No.
No, I don't think it is.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is the number one fundraiser for Republicans. She's very popular.
Yeah, I don't think that it's just the radical fringe. I think some people that you would consider intelligent, well educated and, you know, stable people are led down, you know, the garden path because they see somebody that
hold
they
on.
Like telling them this and such, and so they tend to believe.
I'm going
to
bring you I'm going to bring it right home to something Joe mentioned. Joe brought up scamming. This is exactly what we've been dealing with, scammers. Pip just said reasonably intelligent people, you know, you would expect them to use deductive reasoning, and we've talked about this all the time, to find bullshit on this, but as you guys said, they're led to believe something they want to believe, and they make bad decisions. I mean, that's the reality of our society. So we're...
Yeah.
But also, when you discuss, you know, like I said, you know, she's a... You bring up, well, you know, he's questioning the efficacy about the vaccines, and it should be questioned because basically it didn't turn out to be what they told it was originally. So moving forward, you do question the efficacy, because where are we going to be down? You know, where are we going to be with this 6 months down the road?
I mean, there's a messaging problem. That's it always seems like everything that comes out of the government, there's always a messaging problem. And there's been a messaging problem with the vaccine. You're right. We were told it was going to be one thing. It never should have been called a vaccine. It should have been, this is medicine that will most likely prevent you from getting seriously ill. That's what it should, because when you think of the word vaccine, you think, I won't get it. And that's not what this is. That's the problem.
That's not what this ends up being.
Yeah. But,
right. And when and like I said, when you bring up I can't pronounce that word, it's late. Ivermectin, pardon my ignorance on this, when you bring up that, you're like, it has helped and reduce severity of.
Yeah, but they're saying not statistically enough. They're saying, because like some people just get better, and that's kind of what they're writing this off to. Listen, if ivermectin was really working, wouldn't the makers of ivermectin be screaming off the rooftops, "Hey, this shit's working"? I mean, why wouldn't they?
Could be with the other vaccines. There's more money to be made.
No, they're still coming up with treatments. It's not just vaccines.
Both have reduced the severity of people that have been infected. And I have it right here. So, for this woman to turn around and go, well, it's false information. No, it's not. And it's working in the same fashion a vaccine that was proposed to, you wouldn't get it. If you do get it, it reverses the severity, which makes it in the same plane of the other vaccine.
Yeah, but you still can't, and then we'll move on, you still can't explain away why the makers of ivermectin aren't shouting from the rooftops, you should be using this, it works. They're not doing that. They have everything to gain from doing that.
Could be a backstory that we don't know.
All right, we have no evidence of that.
Which is up to conjecture, which is up to discussion, which is part of something that, that Joe Rogan put out there, that is up to conjecture and
discussion.
Listen,
Joe, I have no problem with Joe Rogan. I have the problem that think people know that look at this guy as some type of expert on shit that he's not an expert on. Joe Rogan can spout off whatever he wants. I don't care.
However, you do have this woman, this other doctor that's coming. Well, he's spreading false information. No, he's not. He's spreading something that is actually, an ivermectin is actually working in a way to reduce.
Yeah, I need to know what medical journal you're getting this from. I you're just saying this. I don't know where you're getting it from. I've not heard this, so I need to know. Like, is this in like an accredited medical journal that they're saying this, or is this just Tucker Carlson's rantings? I need to know what it is.
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, while you find that, we'll continue with Drunks in the News, and then we could double back, and you could tell me. So let's do some Drunks in the News.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, this week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term, synonym for being drunk, fettered. Fettered.
Fettered?
Fettered. F-E-T-T-E-R apostrophe D.
Okay.
Joe's hat is so askew, he looks fettered.
I got that from the Population Health Sciences Institute, Newcastle University.
What is that?
Population Health Services, Population Health Sciences Institute from Newcastle University.
I know nothing about that, but that doesn't mean one thing or the other. If Pip wants to do a quick review on how they're held up in the medical community, that'd be fine. I can't speak to that because, unlike Joe Rogan, I don't espouse on things I don't know about. So, okay. It could be very credited. Could not be. I have no idea. But there you have it. That's where it's from. And if Pip wants to get, see how if they're held in esteem, that would be helpful. All right.
If I can.
If you can. Movie drinking. The New York State Liquor Authority just unanimously approved a measure allowing movie theaters to serve wine and beer at their concession stands and moviegoers to carry the drinks inside the screening rooms. Until now, cinemas were only allowed to serve drinks if they had a restaurant license alongside a full kitchen and waiters to serve the offerings to patrons already seated. Alternatively, cinephiles were allowed to consume wine and beer in the lobby. The ruling clearly changes things, and good news, it takes effect immediately. And note, hard liquor sales are still prohibited by state law because you can't enjoy yourself too much. The SLA's full board voted to issue declaratory ruling that under the Alcoholic Beverage Control Law, businesses operating movie theaters are eligible to apply for a tavern wine or restaurant wine license without the need for a restaurant menu and table service, provided that alcoholic beverages sales are incidental to their operations as a movie theater. The decision follows an appeal by the National Association of Movie Theater Owners. The group argued that cinemas should be allowed to sell alcohol for consumption under the same guidelines that apply to other live entertainment destinations around town, from Broadway theaters to concert halls. To be clear, movie theaters will now be allowed to apply for beer and wine licenses, just like other entertainment venues, as long as the profits from the new menu items are not their prime source of revenue. So this was my blog. I mean, I know there's a lot of places, I got a lot of feedback from people that, you know, this is already happening in a lot of places. I'm not really a fan of this. You know, I think this is a last-ditch effort by these movie theaters to make it appealing to go there, when the reality is things wind up in the movies a month or two later. They wind up on a streaming service, and our home theater experience is getting better and better, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense to pay $15 to go to a movie. I mean, plus you got to go to a movie, you got to deal with strangers, you got to deal with noisy strangers, you got to deal with strangers that have COVID. Now I got to deal with noisy strangers that have COVID that are drunk. I'm not a fan. The only way I could see this possibly doing this is if you make it like movies starting after 8:30 or 9, so families could still go out to the movies without dealing with that. Because can you imagine what's going to happen? Some guy's going to be sitting there with his girl drinking. They're going to be watching a Rock movie, and Rock's going to be kicking ass. And then somebody in the movie theater is going to slight this guy, and then it's going to blow up because they all have beer muscles. It's going to be a problem.
Of course it is. People can't eat popcorn without being an asshole. They're going to drink now? No, it's stupid.
I have a whole bunch of words. It's like, people can't even eat popcorn. All right. You got a point.
Now with that being said, though, after a certain hour, maybe it's not a bad idea. Also, there are more upscale movie theaters. There's one out by me where there's food service, and so you know, and I think they even might have bottle service there. So in that case, yeah, it'd be a good, you know, they could try it, but just at a regular movie theater, it's going to be chaos. Plus, can you imagine what they're going to get for a beer? I mean, Jesus Christ, they buy milk jugs at $12. A freaking bunch is going to run you at least $25.
It's going to cost you a kidney if you want to have that beer.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, this sounds like a really, you know, you can't keep people's mouths shut in the movies as it is. They're, you know, talking and yelling at the screen and carrying on. And, you know, but people do not know how to behave themselves in public anymore. And now you're going to get them all boozed up? Oh, God. I would never go to a movie again.
I think the one argument that the movie theaters do make is like, well, you serve it every place else. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, you could get drunk at Ice Capades if you want to.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, you go to a hockey game, it's loud. You go to a baseball game, it's loud. You go to a bar, it's loud. When you go to some place where you're expected to sit and be quiet for an hour and a half, you know.
Joe, they do it at Broadway. They do it at concerts.
Yeah, but when people start mouthing off it in Broadway, they pick them up by the scruff of the neck and they throw them out into the road. You think teenagers are going to come and break it up when you get rowdy in the movie? No way!
You know what? That's a good point.
Plus, at a concert, you got, you know, it's loud, there's music. You go to Broadway, Broadway brings a different element. And if anybody falls out of that element, they're quickly removed. You know, they have no tolerance for that. Where it's not like you have to call an usher and there's a problem, blah, blah. I mean, they're quickly shushed, they're quickly removed. Concert, it's loud, it's music. A bar, same thing. A movie theater, you're expected to sit there and shut your mouth with all sorts of riffraff usually there along with you. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I think that would make going to a movie untenable. Completely.
Well, I mean, like I said, there are a lot of places around the country that do it. I don't understand why you can't serve hard liquor. I mean, if people get drunk off beer and wine, what's to make a difference?
Well, I think that in there are places where they're actually promoting it as this is a nice place. You can have a meal. You know, you can have your drink there, and they're charging a bit more because they, you know, for the atmosphere. And when they're charging more, the expectation is you're going to behave yourself. You just laid down all this money, but it's just like normal movie theater.
Yeah, look, if you want to drink at the movies, you got to do what me and my buddies used to do at the Dollar Movie Theater in Northport. We all had our army jackets. The army jackets can literally hold an 8-pack of Little Millers, and you load them up like that. You go clink-clanking your way into the fucking theater, and you wind up drinking in there, you know?
Millers? Was that an anti-Semitic comment?
I beg you? What?
Well, you said Little Millers, like you clank a bunch of Little Millers. I feel like that was a little anti-Semitic. I feel that was an attack on the Jews.
How could that be anti-Semitic? We used to call them Little Millers there.
You're implying all Jews named Miller or Little. I don't like that, and you're clanking them.
No, Miller Beer. Wow. You used to come, the little 8-ounce guys. We used to get an 8-pack of them. You got your army jacket, but all pockets fit nice. You go in, you drink your balls off, you watch the movie.
Because, you know, when army jackets were originally made, they said, how many beers can they hump?
You know, I had a really big purse at one point. That thing could easily hold a 6-pack of bottles.
Oh, yeah.
I just had to you know, make it look like I wasn't humping a 6-pack of bottles on one arm. So I had to make it look like my purse was light. And then once we got in there, you get away with a lot, except if you mistakenly kick over one of the empties and it rolls down the hill.
Well,
that happened once or twice. You know, it's like you got yelled at back in the car. And
me and my wife, before the plague, the wife and I used to go to Devil's Games quite a bit, and you couldn't sneak food in, but we would sneak foot-long Subway sandwiches in the sleeves of her jacket.
Yeah!
She's got very stiff arms. She's Mick Mars. Leave her alone.
It's like, she doesn't like to talk about it. It's a condition.
Why does she smell like tuna fish? How dare you, sir?
I can't believe you have enough to bring it up.
Have you no class? She's got a condition.
I can't help it.
Like, you go to a concert. Now, like I said, I went to see Genesis at USB and at Madison Square Garden. I didn't eat anything. I mean, everything is a fortune at these venues, you know?
You know what they need? You know what we need, Joe? It's a good point. Where do we get our T-shirts from Ballsack Guy? We should be able to buy refreshments from Ballsack Guy.
No, it's going to be warm.
No. So I'll serve hot pretzels.
That's where I got my chicken salad, and look what happened.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know what? The pretzels are hot, don't you?
Yeah.
No, I'm not having
it. Maybe a nice potato knish that was shoved up in between his cheeks.
Thank you, no.
I'll have the peanuts under his nuts, please. Thank you. Salted Welly's been sweating.
Thank you.
Do you want these t-shirts twice when I get home? What do you want, these nuts or these nuts?
Thank you, no.
All right.
That's where I got my chicken salad from. See what that happened?
Yes, we know. All right. Let's take our final break. We'll come back with Scammy Scammers. On the break, we got new music from Chloe Collins with Red Looks Good on Me. And we have Dead Crow Road with Little Miss Whiskey. And you can learn more about both of those artists at deucemusic.com. Back in a few.